Welcome again to another episode of Mastering Grad School. My name is Rachel Carvajal. I am an instructional designer for the College of Graduate Studies, and this is the fall 2025 semester edition of our podcast. And this semester, we're doing things a little bit differently. We're going to be interviewing a dean every month, and they're going to be telling you all about what their programs are doing, what changes are happening, and why you should join their program. Today with us is Dr. Sumantra Sengupta. He is the dean of the Rio Grande College of Business, which is the business college for all campuses, and is actually the program that I fall under, and I will be graduating under this December. So I'm going to read to you from his bio so you guys can get to know him a little bit. I just want to say that we are very, very lucky to have someone so accomplished as our dean of business, and the changes that are coming are very exciting, speaking from a master student perspective. So Dr. Sengupta transitioned to higher education in 2016 after spending 24 years in the private sector, where he held positions such as vice president and partner at Capgemini Ernst & Young LLC, vice president at Hitachi Consulting, and as senior executive advisor with Booz Allen Hamilton. He began his professional career with the Kraft Foods Group. In 2010, he co-founded an advisory and turnaround firm and conducted global restructurings and turnarounds while serving as group president for a billion-dollar diversified agriculture production and trading company with 2,500 associates and operations in 11 countries. He has consulted for F1000 companies across the globe and has served clients in the U.S., Mexico, Middle East, North and South Africa, as well as various parts of Southeast Asia. Dr. Sengupta has authored multiple books and articles over the years. His latest book, published in 2023, is titled Resilient Value Chains: How Companies Can Win in Uncertain Times. He is a member of the Harvard Business Review Advisory Council, an opt-in research community of business professionals. He holds a PhD and Master of Arts degree in Business Administration from the Max M. Fisher College of Business at The Ohio State University, and a Master of Science and Bachelor of Science degree in Applied Mathematics from Ohio University. So thank you so much, Dr. Sengupta, for joining us. Let's get right to it. You want to tell us all about the new and improved Masters of Business Administration program?
Yeah, so thank you, Rachel, first off, and congratulations on your upcoming graduation.
Thank you.
MBA is... People have said that MBA is dying, MBA is dead, it's declining. We actually see exactly the opposite. The demand for MBAs has increased. Applicants have increased. And so our program, the new MBA, we needed to do a refresh, primarily to serve our student body and also to remain very competitive.
Yes.
It is a highly competitive market,
yes,
as
is.
You know.
Yes.
So fundamentally, the changes come into three categories. One is on the depth. So in the past, we primarily offered a general MBA, which will continue to remain. And that is very suitable for students and candidates who want to learn all aspects of the business.
Right.
But not necessarily specialize in addition to.
Sure.
So those are what I call for the general managers.
Gotcha.
However, when we look at the market, general managers come in two categories. They either were on a general managerial track where they were across the board, or they had depth in an area and then grew to be a general manager. So they were in finance and then became a CFO, moved to general manager.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Or they were head of supply chain. You know, I think Apple is a great example.
Sure.
The current CEO, you know, he actually was in operations. He was a chief operating officer. Now, Tim Cook, he's the CEO.
Right.
One never thought Apple would be run by somebody other than a non-marketing person.
Agreed, right? Yes.
So what we did with the new MBA is that we said, first off, we have to maintain what has made us successful, which is the general MBA. But then we added six emphasis areas. And what did we add? We added the traditional bread and butter of MBA: finance, marketing, IT. Those are three. But then we went further and we added three additional ones, which I'm really excited about, all of them. But we added one in entrepreneurship and small business.
Oh, wonderful.
If you look at our environment and if you look at West Texas, there's a lot of small businesses.
Rural environments, especially. Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And most of them are family businesses.
Yes. Multi-generational.
Multi-generational.
Even. Yes.
And I've served family businesses many, many times. They have the same complexity, but they have added complexity that most of the time family is involved in the business. And unlike a regular business where for performance, you may or may not keep your job.
Right.
You can't fire family that easily.
Exactly.
So entrepreneurship and family business makes it a very interesting
business. Yes.
And then we decided that the next wave of exploration and spending is going to happen in space. That's where the next battle is going to be fought.
Sure.
So we actually launched the first in the country. There is nobody else called MBA in Space Commerce.
I was not aware of that. That is very exciting.
We are the only ones in the country. There are other people who have MBA in space technology,
sure.
But nobody that has said, how do you conduct business at some point in the future in space? And there is a war going on right mm-hmm. now for who's going to be able to get to space,
yes.
What kind of food will you grow, how will you package yes. it, how will you live there for longer terms?
Mm-hmm.
So MBA in Space Commerce, which actually was championed by the person who is my chair of the MBA program, Dr. Tom Matula,
yeah.
was something that, and it's getting a lot of publicity. And we are offering our first course in the fall.
Very, very exciting. Yeah.
And then because of our proximity to some of the bases, mm-hmm. aerospace and defense tends to be a very steady sector.
Sure.
And they have unique issues and challenges that other sectors don't have. For example, they are a lot in government contracting.
Mm-hmm.
Aerospace and defense also has to have a level of cybersecurity.
Sure.
You have to have a level of clearance. So we also decided to launch an MBA in aerospace and defense.
Very cool.
So those are our depth MBAs.
Yes. Now, and innovative and cutting edge. That is so exciting.
I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are just catch up.
Sure.
Because we should have had those.
Sure, sure.
And then you innovate.
Yes.
You know, and on innovation, cutting edge is a good place to be because some of it you have to show that Sol Ross is a thinker.
Yes.
And we are innovating in the business world is not staying stable. It's not staying static. There's
Never
constant.
Does, right?
People are talking about new normal.
Yes.
Well, you can't have your degree programs be from 20 years ago.
Oh, exactly.
Right?
And you know, universities are notorious for being stuck in the past.
Yes.
Yeah. So, overcoming change.
Sometimes we pride ourselves on being stuck in the
right.
past.
Right. CBBS would, for example.
So then we decided that modality needed to change.
Yes.
And you're a student now. 16-week modality works wonderfully for undergrad studies.
Yeah. Yes.
Grad studies.
It's tedious. It's very tedious.
It's too long. And I would argue that for what our student learning outcomes, 8 weeks is absolutely fine.
I'm so excited to try this new.
And so yes. Hopefully you'll see the pace. We're not compromising on quality.
Right.
We're not compromising on content. We're just shifting the modality.
Absolutely.
I'm actually now, my next product that's going to come out is going to be an executive MBA, and that is going to be in 5-week modalities.
5 weeks. Okay.
That's
going
to be in 5-week modality.
Okay.
So that you can essentially take 3 in a semester.
Wow. Okay. And then get through that.
Get through that. It's going to be a 13-month program.
God, that's gorgeous.
All online. I'm pre-announcing it. We just got approval. I still have to take it through the process.
Sure. Sure.
All the approval process that I've learned the hard way here.
Bureaucracy, yay.
Okay, you said it, I didn't.
I'm allowed.
Yes, you're allowed. So we shifted the modality.
Sure.
And then the other thing you will see is we have amazing faculty members.
Agreed.
But I wanted even more amazing faculty members.
Yeah.
So we did start introducing several highly qualified adjuncts. And they just absolutely crush it along with the full-time faculty. And I've been very fortunate because the provost and the president are supporting this.
Yes.
We're actually bringing in 5 new faculty members.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes. So,
great. Well, put them in touch with me because my other job is course design. And so like,
yes, I think you will love the faculty members.
I'm very
coming
excited.
In.
Yeah.
We have international business deal faculty member, finance, Economics, and what else? One is, Phil is general business,
okay.
And then Dr. Cho, who came in a few months ago for marketing.
All right, excellent.
Yeah, so I've been fortunate that the university is supporting
yes.
Our growth goals.
Yes, yeah, can't grow without it, right?
Can't grow without it. So,
exactly.
So very excited, and you know, the new MBA, we continue to be one of the most affordable MBAs.
Yes, indeed.
And you will benefit from one of the things that's going on is right when you're graduating is when we are filing for our ACBSP accreditation, which is our advanced accreditation.
One. Wonderful.
Yes, so
December, our degree will be worth
yes,
even more.
Yes, and I've taken prior universities through this, and we have also become members of AACSB. That's more of a four-year process.
Okay.
Because that goes hand-in-hand with our research increase that the university is experiencing.
That's right, yes.
You have to have significant research going on in your department in order to qualify
for AACSB. Interesting, okay.
So we've become candidates for AACSB effective a few months ago. It's a four-year process.
So we'll be having research within the business.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's very exciting.
Yes. So the research agenda has already been shaped.
Great.
Dr. Jose Mora, who you probably know.
I do, yes.
He's in charge of maintaining and updating our research agenda.
Okay.
Actually, our provost just suggested that we might want to do a research symposium for the College of Business alone next
well,
year.
Well, I was going to plug our research symposium that happens every year that the College of Grad Studies and mm-hmm. the PPOHA grants put on every year. So right. I would, in addition to doing your own, I would love it if you would send students our way
right.
to participate in that. That's very, very exciting. I'd love to see research expanded across all departments.
It is. And some of the publications that are coming out, I've seen the publication tracker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm amazed.
I'm
absolutely thrilled that faculty are doing that.
Yeah, and I've always said, you know, that we are so lucky to be where we are and also attract the quality and level of talent that we've been able to as far as our faculty and adjuncts go. It's such a, you know, I've only ever worked at this university, so I don't know if it's unique to us, but I'm going to say that it is. We're very lucky to have who we've got.
I was just upstairs in another meeting where I said, you know, people come for not just the job. You've got to give them an environment,
yes.
an ecosystem.
Absolutely.
And then you have to have a level of charm to recruit
yes.
these days. Whether you like it or not.
Agreed. It's optics. It's a big part of this.
That's and so you know, I'm excited this
yeah.
fall. You know, we're bringing in, I believe the provost said, probably the largest incoming faculty class.
Wow.
I think we're bringing in almost 30 faculty across the university.
I feel like that is such a mm-hmm. great indicator of growth, even more so than our student numbers,
yeah.
because if you're attracting the faculty to come and do the work,
mm-hmm.
that's huge because that's what a choice for them to make. And again, like, just, we're so lucky to be able to bring them in. And I know that they're going to want to stick around.
I think Sol Ross can grow. People.
Yeah.
Well, you're an example, right? This is your first job, you said.
Oh, well, no, actually, this is, I was born and raised in Alpine.
Oh, you were?
I was, And
we didn't give you a reason to leave.
No, exactly.
See, that's
I left for a little bit, but I came back.
Came right back.
My second round at Sol Ross, working here, so.
See, Eagle Pass is similar.
Yes, yeah.
You know, and now, as you know, we have downward expansion
yes.
in Eagle Pass, so I'm expecting to bring the business program up even a lot more. Over there, and their students don't want to leave if they don't have to.
Right. Well, we've, you know, family ties, and again,
yeah.
multi-generational
yeah.
family ties, and, you know, border culture is mm-hmm. very mm-hmm. family-oriented, and I love that. I mean, I think that community is so important now more than ever, and what a great way to grow community and keep those power people in your community contributing to your community. So, you know, at the end of the day, this is a bonus. It's a win. It's a net plus for not just us and our students and what we do, but for our communities as well. And I think that's like the most important part, in my opinion.
And a couple of other tweaks that you will see, actually the students coming in will see, is my commitment is that every student that graduates from one of our degrees, either a BBA or an MBA or our master's in math, science and management or cybersecurity, they must go through at least one life case
oh.
working with a client.
Yeah.
during their coursework.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And so that's coming. It's something that I've done in the past. We've already started that.
So is it like sort of like a micro internship or sort of?
Yeah, it's a live case. So we recently had a marketing MBA course last semester. Mm-hmm. And they actually they created a whole marketing plan and a strategic growth plan for certain markets for a Dallas-based company.
No kidding.
Yeah. And so, and now we actually have the affiliation with the incubator in Eagle Pass where we, so the College of Business and the university signed an agreement where the incubator is now an accelerator. So we already have four companies that are being incubated there. And our faculty are serving as advisors to those companies.
Out of the gate, yeah, you guys are making it happen.
Yeah, four companies. I just, because I sit on the governing board, and every company has to be approved by the city and by us.
Okay.
We are now at four. In fact, one of our students, it's a great success story, has opened the first ever bookstore in Eagle Pass.
Oh, that's so cool.
He actually was an education major.
Okay.
Went to teach. Taught in the high school or the elementary school there. And him and his partner, his girlfriend, who's also a graduate of Sol Ross, they decided to open the first bookstore in the incubator. So if you ever come to Eagle Pass, you go to the incubator, you will see the bookstore at the next door.
Yes.
And they are really doing, I mean, they're doing well.
That's amazing. Anybody in Eagle Pass going to Eagle Pass, please go check that out.
Yeah.
The support of our community is what helps grow these programs and make these businesses successful. So like, get out there and support your fellow Lobos, guys. That's so exciting.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. And, you know, and Alpine, now the Small Business Development Center, is now under the purview of the College of Business.
Oh, good deal.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
very cool.
The president really wanted that to happen.
And it's always been such a great resource. And I've sent so many people there over the years. So I'm so excited to see how you guys grow that because,
And so I'm you know, last time I was here, I went over, saw that. They're, you know, unfortunately, they're not here on campus.
Yeah.
Eagle Pass, they are on campus.
Yes, much here.
You know, and so, but that's a huge resource for the full life cycle of businesses.
Yes, yeah.
And so I'm now exploring ways to bring them in closer, in value-added manner, so that they continue to hit their metrics, and then we get a value add for our students.
Absolutely.
Student internships would be a great way for us to start training. So, so that's part of the ecosystem.
That real world component is so important. I mean, I learn the best from doing, and I feel like that is sort of an across-the-board thing. So what a great opportunity.
I know. I'm excited.
I'm very excited. I had no idea all this was coming along. So
I guess we should be advertising it more, but that's why you're doing this podcast.
That is exactly why we are here, yes. Hopefully we get a big reach on this one. But, yeah, I mean, that's so cool. And I'm glad that, you know, even though I'm graduating, I still get to hang out, you know, because I, you know, work here and get to see it grow and hopefully help it grow any way I can.
I think the biggest thing for you post-graduation is going to be to make sure that our courses that are being designed online.
Absolutely.
Adhere to a certain standard.
Yes. I'm very excited for those standards. Yeah, I work the best under a rigid structure.
You know, for me, you know, quality matters is the platinum standard.
Agreed.
I always say quality matters for me is like Six Sigma.
Yes.
For me, what is the right Sigma for our students?
Yes, exactly.
Because quality matters sometimes can have so many bells and whistles.
It was,
right?
Both of those. Yeah, I went through and I tried to do the peer review thing and it got a little too, it's a little, I get.
So at my last university, I actually came up with our own quality matter.
Oh, very good.
We said, we don't need all the bells and whistles, but for our student base, these are the must-haves.
Interesting.
So we had a set of must-haves.
Yes,
that
non-negotiables,
did not get published unless the dean approved that the dean was willing to try it.
Okay.
For one term.
Yes.
And then it had to catch up.
Right.
And then there were nice-to-haves, and then they were great if you had a ton of time.
Sure.
So I'm hoping that with you coming in, and, you know, the work you're doing, that we will continue to raise the must-haves.
Absolutely, yeah. I would love to see that standardization across the board. And
you know, standardization doesn't mean lack of innovation.
No, absolutely not.
It just means the student experience should be seamless.
Yes.
You know, whether you're
you need to have both.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a huge fan of that. And I think the faculty understand.
So,
and you have to understand. I mean, one of the things I was just sharing that another meeting is just being a great face-to-face teacher doesn't necessarily mean you're a great online instructor.
That's so very true.
It's two different modalities, beasts.
And you've got to change your brain and be willing to accept some changes.
Right.
Yes.
And
we're working.
Yeah, face-to-face to online synchronous is probably similar.
Similar, yes.
But when you go online AC, that's where you've got to bring the liveliness.
And that personal touch.
Yes.
You just spend a little bit of extra time recording some videos, just doing a little bit. Because I've had both. I've been taking online classes for a long time. And the instructors who just take even like just a little bit of time to record a lecture or make sure that they're available versus the ones who you never see or hear from. You know, one is a very resentful experience and one is a very rich experience as a student. And so I think, just that little bit of extra, and it makes all the difference.
So one of the things we're doing, for example, is even if you're teaching completely online asynchronous in the College of Business, you are expected to hold office hours.
Yes.
And that's just going to be mandatory.
Sure,
just
absolutely.
Because you're
at a minimum. Right?
And so, you know, as these are not changes, these are things that should be enforced.
Agreed.
And
yes.
I don't view my job as an enforcer.
Yes.
However, strong suggestion with a couple of follow-ups sends the message that it is important.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
And in the end, I found that at least the business faculty that I'm fortunate to work with, they've all embraced. The next. I mean, you know several
I do.
Of
yeah.
them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the new ones that are coming in, you know, there is no legacy there.
Exactly.
So
brand new clay.
Exactly.
Yes.
So that's the MBA program on
Great.
The grad study.
It's so exciting.
And then, as you know, we launched two other master's programs.
Yes.
You know, one of the things that I saw when I came in, that the trend in the business schools, globally, by the way, this is not just a Texas trend,
sure.
is that specialized masters.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. You know, MBA is never going away.
Right.
But not everybody wanted to go through the rigor of an MBA.
Got it.
So specialized masters became very important. And we had none.
Okay.
We had none.
Right.
So now we have two new, Master of Science in Management that went online, actually going online now.
Okay.
We already have our first students. And that's a 30-unit, one-year program.
Okay.
And here's why it's different from an MBA. You're an MBA graduate, or you will be. Think of the three courses that are probably what we call the hurdle courses at MBA. Accounting.
Yes.
Yes, you know, the reaction. But you did it.
Because Joanna is incredible. And
so,
without her,
Accounting, finance, and quantitative methods tends to be what we call the hurdle courses.
Yes.
However, having run so many businesses in my career, that's not all been required for everybody that's going to sit at the management
table.
So the Master of Science in Management essentially takes out those hurdle courses but refocuses on management theory, strategy, and change management.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
So it is really for the people who have gone through more than likely a liberal arts background.
Okay.
Because their training has been more liberal arts or social sciences. They're not quite ready to take the plunge to an MBA, or in their mind, they can't do it. I always say it's a mind game.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody
should
be able to do it, but it's a mind game, right?
Agreed.
And if you walk in thinking you're not going to crack accounting, you will
not
crack accounting.
No, exactly.
Right?
Yes.
But I can only tell that to so many students.
No,
so we said,
real.
You know what? Master of Science in Management is the program for those students.
Oh, what?
Half the courses, by the way, in that program are from the MBA catalog. So you're essentially taking the same management, same org design, but what you're doing is you're not taking the hurdle courses, but you're filling it with extra org courses.
Maybe I need to look at a second master.
Well, I think that. So that was the MSM.
I keep saying no more classes, and I lie.
I mean, well, you'll be excited then about the other things we're doing. And then cybersecurity.
Yes.
You know, that's huge, right?
Huge.
But what is missing is how do you manage? Cybersecurity is not just a tech play.
No, exactly.
It's a management play. People are now sitting in the boardroom. The chief risk officer is now on the boardroom.
Yes.
So our master's in cybersecurity and risk assurance is all about how do you create a framework to manage cyber?
Yeah.
You have to assume that you will be under attack.
Yeah, absolutely.
While your technologist must be ready to prepare you, you have to understand what you can do to manage the before and the after.
Sure.
How do you drive change? How do you drive a culture of cyber and risk assurance?
Mm-hmm.
How do you manage risk in your assets across the board? So the Masters in Cybersecurity and Risk Assurance is geared for that audience.
Okay.
And that is also a one-year program, 30 units, and 10 courses, 8-week modality.
That's incredible.
Online. And both these programs, by the way, are managed by someone you know, Dr. Candice Ward.
Oh, wonderful.
So Dr. Ward actually manages both these programs. And they're all online.
And so all of our undergrads, they can very easily attain a master's degree.
I'm hoping soon we will have a 4+1.
Yeah.
I'm hoping very soon we will have a 4+1. And in the pipeline is our doctoral program.
That's right.
We will be launching it. I'm hoping, well, I've been told it's 2 years, but then I've been always told the lead time.
Double
then,
that.
Exactly. Actually, I'm going to half it.
Yeah. Good. Yes. Yes.
Double it would be
that's
too easy.
That's the energy we need.
Yes. So we will be launching a DBA program.
Wow.
It's already on the drawing board, and it will be a 3-year doctoral program.
Does that include a thesis?
It will. Well, it'll be two types.
Okay.
You could do a thesis, which is a research in one deep topic.
Okay.
Or alternatively, you could pick 3 topical areas which can couple together to create essentially a research agenda on broad platform.
Gotcha.
A thesis takes you deep.
Yes.
And that has traditionally been reserved for PhD.
Right.
A DBA takes you broader on multiple topics. So you could do, for example, you could do marketing, and then you could do a topic on tech marketing.
Sure.
Then you could do a topic on disruptive marketing.
Got it. Oh, that makes
those
sense.
Those would be your 3 topics in which you do your research, but not one and go deep.
Okay.
You go 3 and you go semi-deep.
Sure.
And so essentially that's the, be the structure of the program.
That's very exciting.
It's just on the drawing board now, but, you know, and the College of Business, we go from drawing board to actualization pretty fast.
I mean, yes, in an impressive way.
So that's what's in the pipeline.
Well, great. Yeah. That's so many exciting things. I cannot wait for everybody to find out about this. I just know that this is going to be crazy successful because, you know, the 4-in-1 and these specialized programs, I mean, there's something for everybody, for anybody. We're affordable. It's manageable. We're small. We're one-on-one. You can get every bit of the great college experience that you're looking for right here at Sol Ross. So I know I'm already talking to grad students, but hopefully if you're considering this and you're watching this, like, there's no reason not to. We've got it all for you. And so thank you again. Thank you so much for joining us. This is a lot of great information, and that'll do it for us for this month's podcast. Join us next month when we'll be talking to a different dean. Thank you again for joining us, and thank you again, Dr. Sengupta. We really, really had a great time.
Thank you.
Thank you.